Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do for me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. The power that He holds, when we truly see how deep our weakness goes, His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on.
Bibles, I want you to look in the Word of God for a scripture. Then I'm going to turn over to Brother Lonnie. The minister's going to come forward. Jeremiah chapter 29. I want you just to look at a scripture with me for just a moment. And I want you to look at verse 11. Now, we're going to go back and read verse 4, but I want you to see the heart of something that God is trying to portray in verse 11. Something that we've read a lot. I think perhaps many of you have memorized this scripture, but maybe you've never looked at the context around this scripture, because the context is quite interesting. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord of hosts, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Goes on to say, then shall you call upon me And you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. God loves to be sought after. There'll be times when he is so real and so present, and then there'll be times when he's an enigma and he's a mystery. And you have to go searching for him. Amen? And there'll be times when you say, you know what? This presence that I'm feeling right now in my office or in my study or in my car, it'll never leave me. And then it goes away. And then God says, will you come search for me with all of your heart? Now, watch the context here. And starting at verse 11, or let's look at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive. Jeremiah had prophesied for years that Jerusalem was a whoring after idols and marrying among the heathen. And he was nothing but a rebuke to Israel. They put him in stocks. They threatened to kill him. They lowered him down into a muddy, slimy pit. They put him in prison. He was the weeping prophet. And now he's prophesying about exile in Babylon. Now, in the natural, we are exiles. This is not our home. So we're in Babylon. And so we've been taken from our home. And we're sojourning. And I want you to notice what he said to do while you're sojourning. So they're captives. Verse 5. Build houses and dwell in them. Where are they going to be building them? In Babylon. Not in Jerusalem. They're exiles. They've been taken from their land. They're weeping. They've hung their harps upon the willow trees down by the river, and they're weeping. They're wanting to go back. They could be paralyzed. They could be totally paralyzed emotionally by saying, they remember the burning city. They remember the soldiers. They remember the spears and the death and the blood. They watched their city walls crumble. They watched their temple go up in smoke. They could have been paralyzed. It could have destroyed them emotionally and spiritually. But Jeremiah the prophet prepared them. And he says, go and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And go ahead and marry and have sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. What is he saying? Live your life. Occupy till you be regathered again. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace to give you an expected end. And if you were to go on to finish the chapter, he's going to say, I'm going to get you back to your homeland. I'm going to take you back home. But meanwhile, while you're here, I want you to do something. I want you to seek the peace of the city you live in. I want you to seek the peace of the community you live in. I want you to be salt on the earth. Salty. I want you to be the light of the world. Watch what he goes on to say then. Take your wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Have children. Jeremiah is saying, have a lot of them. I had somebody say to me, I'm not going to bring children into this world. It's too evil. I said, God brought his children into this world. And if God brought his children into this world, then we should bring children into this world. Teach them in the fear and admonition of the Lord and let them raise them. But what if they don't serve God? You just give that part to God. But you love them, nurture them, teach them in the ways of the Lord. Seek the peace of the city. There we are. Verse 7. Seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away. Wow! You have been carried away. You're not in your new Jerusalem. You're not in your glorified body. You're not in your heavenly home. You've been carried away. And I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, if in the, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Verse, let's read that verse again. Seek the peace of the city, whether I've caused you to be carried away. What does that mean? Pray. Do you ever pray for your city? Do you ever say, you know what, I'm going to get on the school board and I'm going to be salt because my kids go to that school and I'm going to affect the way the things are voted on in that school. You know, I think I'm going to work with the Red Cross. I'm going to get involved over here. I'm going to help the Salvation Army. Or are you just completely and entirely isolated? Now, see, the reason I'm reading these to you and I'm challenging you this way is because we're talking about affecting somebody overseas, somebody in a foreign country. In some ways, that's a little romantic. And it's much easier to give money than to give time. Can you say amen? And I think you need to be salt of the earth. Affect your city. Affect your community. How many of you have witnessed to your neighbors? Okay? How many of you haven't witnessed to your neighbors? And half of you won't raise your hand. But you get my point. God puts you in your neighborhood for a reason. So we're talking about outreach, but there's some inreach that needs to be done as well. Seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. Do what? Pray for the city. Well, Brother Branham said, I don't pray for America anymore. I don't pray for revival. It isn't going to happen. I don't pray for a national turnaround. It isn't going to happen. Brother Bram said, you have 1,000 Abraham Lincolns on every corner. It isn't going to happen. But where I live, I'm going to seek the prosperity and the peace of that city. I'm going to touch the lives of the people that are around about me. I'm going to be proactive and I'm going to be involved. I think that's foreign. You know what? We're not supposed to be recluses. We're not supposed to be withdrawn into our little church, our little conclave. We're not monks. We're not nuns in a nunnery. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Can you say amen? I'll stop right there. I just wanted to challenge you with that. You can go on and read the rest of this. Now we're going to talk about outreach and what the Lord is doing around the world. And I believe you're going to really be blessed. God bless you.
When we mention missions and this many shows up, I'm afraid somebody wouldn't come. So it's really great. As I was sitting, looking around over the congregation, and we're talking about missions, and of course we're going to focus on the part of missions that BCF is directly involved in. But as I was looking out over the area here, I saw several others, and I want to mention their names in just a moment. But as I was sitting there also, I was thinking about a scripture that kind of depicted everything from God's point of view. And I thought about in the book of Daniel where King Nebuchadnezzar was going to take glory to himself for all this mighty kingdom that he had built up when God had actually been the one that did it for him. And so King Nebuchadnezzar was going to be taught a lesson, and he was sent out into the field, and it said his fingernails grew out like eagle's claws and his hair grew down like eagles, like feathers, and he was just diminished down to virtually nothing but an animal. And then his senses came back to him. And, of course, he knew then that God was the God of heaven. And then here was his comment. He says, and speaking of God, and he says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's the God we serve.
Amen.
And so as we look around and we watch, many denominational systems have developed their missionary boards to plan this and plan that and plan that. But the greatest planner is the Holy Ghost. And so where needs are, needs will be met because the Holy Ghost will see to it that the people are raised up. And then, of course, each one takes the work in their own hands. So as I was sitting there, as you probably saw my eyes scanning, I was trying to look for brothers that I knew were currently doing something in around the world. And I saw Brother Tony over here from Arkansas, and they've got a radio broadcast in Turkey reaching out to the Islamic nations. And Brother Eddie Ramroop is doing work down in Guyana, South America. And then the brothers over here from the Philippines, they've got their mystery expos, and they're taking the message not only to the thousands of Philippine islands, but into Indonesia and working in China also. And then Brother Paul LaFontaine, they're working in Honduras, and some of Andre Petit's people is here, and he specializes in Haiti. And Brother Ronnie Cobb and Brother Ron Governor here, and they help us in Pakistan. And Brother Harold Beckett, they have a group they call African Missions, and they've got a little unique slot. They're supplying tents for evangelism work around in various places, and his church and other churches are working in cooperation to build tents and then ship them to areas of the world that want to do that kind of evangelism. And I'm sure I'm missing others, but that's just an idea of a little bit that's going on around the world, where the Holy Ghost has laid it in this person's heart to do this and that person's heart to do that. So it's a great body of Christ that's working around the world. And so the three brothers from our church will be speaking to you this morning. And Brother Jim Crook, I want him first after I talk to you for just a little bit. And then Brother Barry Coffey, whom you people know, and then Brother Russ Terry there at the last. And it's just been wonderful to watch how God has done things. Most of you that know me, I had over 30 years of missionary work traveling the world. And I decided when the open heart surgery thing came a couple of years ago that was a good time for me to use it for a good excuse to stop all the travel, because I found it harder and harder to recuperate after all of the trips. So I backed off, but God had already built a team around me, and so it had just worked out wonderful. Well, not really around the missionary effort. And Jim was working with me, and Brother Barry was working with me, so when I stepped back, the whole operation didn't even hiccup a bit. It just went right on, because God had already built strength into a team. And so we just appreciate everything that's going on. I could go through the number of churches that are cooperating with us, Brother Eugene Brown, Brother Jason Watkins, and then the Hagerstown Church with Brother Ronnie Cobb, and others that are all just kind of cooperating in us, and we become a channel at BCF to work through to get the work done. But I wanted you to hear from each one of these, because they each have a little special niche. And Jim, who I would like to speak to you first, he kind of came on board and started helping me in that. He became the one that began to, just before our Sunday morning service, he takes about, depending on what he's got to bring the people, could be maybe 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 15 minutes of just bringing slides and reading letters to the congregation of what's happening overseas as a result of our missionary work. And of course, that lets the people know what their finances are doing and what's going on. And of course, that the Holy Ghost can then move on that for those people who would like to help. Oh, I hear that need. I think I'd like to help there. And so by informing the people, then the Holy Spirit can move on their hearts and do things. So the congregation unified more into a missionary church, even more than it was when Jim began to give his Monday morning reports. And then he took over for me the financial part of seeing to it that this translator gets his money and this printing operation gets their money and this support that's needed over here or this vehicle that's needed over there. He began to watch over the physical part, and I was the man that was inundated with emails for answering doctrinal questions and trying to behind the scenes coordinating things. And it got to the place where I was spending actually 30 to 40 hours a week doing nothing but answering emails and doctrinal questions and all that. And I thought, no, this is not my calling. And so I've begun to back off from that. And I'll tell you a little later what I'm beginning to focus on a little bit more. But I'd like for Brother Jim to come and share with you, if he would, what's going on in his portion of the missionary work. And that'll give you a beginning feeling. And so we'll start right there, Brother Jim, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Brother Lonnie. Yeah, I do most of the administrative work. Actually, you know, you shouldn't despise the beginning of small things. Years ago, we started out with the Becoming Sunday School. My wife and I did the Sunday schools, and Brother Lonnie had done some missionarying, and we were trying to find a purpose and a for the Sunday school classes. So he gave us four names of missionary brothers, and we contacted them, and they started sending letters in, and I would read the letters to the Sunday school classes, and it just kind of snowballed from there, and it's grown to this. And it hasn't been anything that we've done. You know, we're just it's not our ministry, it's y'all's ministry, because it's just, we're just a conduit, and I help out Brother Lonnie and Brother Barry, and Brother Lonnie has made the transition into less active part of missions very easily. I think he's been glad to give it up. It's been a natural transition, and he's done well at that. But he's always back there. If we have a question, he's looking at the emails, and he's a resource for Brother Barry and I if we do more of the day-to-day things. But we started at about the four missionary brothers, and two in the Philippines, two in Malawi. And Brother Lonnie was somewhat active in Russia, and he got us inspired. And now we've got, I think, 19 brothers in Malawi, 7 brothers in Russia, 5 in Pakistan. Translators, we have 3 that are doing Russian translations, 1 Polish, and 1 brother doing the Urdu translation in Pakistan. And then the corresponding printing operations we help with. And again, it's not us, it's the different churches, the different individuals over the world that see the ministry, and they funnel the money through us, and then we funnel it out to the work. And my job is I write letters every month to the brothers, and if they work with us, they write a letter back to us every month. And so there's always this back and forth communication to where we're sure what's going on. And in, such as in the case of Pakistan, we have Brother Anwar there, who is the man on the ground, who makes sure that what we're seeing is actually there. And then we verify by going in on a regular basis just to make sure that what's happening is what we've seen happening, what we've been told is happening. So we're trying to be good stewards of what the Lord has given to us. In addition to the areas we talked about, we supply, you know, motorcycles at about $700 each, bicycles. The brothers in Malawi, they can't afford motorcycles. They love the bicycles, and they're about $80 each. And in fact, I didn't bring the slide, but the Bible school class is raising money for a bicycle over in Malawi, and I think we're about halfway there on one bicycle. And the brother in the picture here is Brother Oswald, who is, I was talking to Brother Paddington recently and asked him, you know, what's going to happen when, you know, maybe you pass off the scene or I pass off the scene? And he said, well, actually, Brother Oswald is our most active brother in Pakistan and Malawi. It's kind of ironic, but Brother Oswald is blind in one eye and he's losing his sight in the other eye. And he can hardly ride his bicycle safely. So we think there's an eye operation. He can have a corneal transplant that, by our standards, isn't a lot of money, but by his standards, it's a lifetime income almost. So we occasionally get into kind of off the regular path projects like that, and that's one we're working on now. But we do bicycles and occasionally a car. I think there's 5 or 6 brothers around the world we supply a car to, who has more of an apostolic ministry, who travels very extensively. And Brother Anatoly Scaloni, who we raised the $4,000 for, is one of those brothers. And I think a car will be anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 for him. But we got a letter from him, and he said that he could put $600 or $700 into his current car. He could replace the engine, and it's got 330,000 miles on it, or we could start all over. So we thought it's time to start all over Brother Anatoly's car. So I've never driven one that many miles, but it's pretty rough conditions in Russia. So that's kind of a snapshot of what we do. And occasionally I get a letter in the mail, and this one was from Brother Aaron Nagoma in Malawi, which I think is on the screen there now. And he's 58 years old, and he was brought into the message by Brother Paddington, the master evangelist in Malawi. And it's kind of I'll just read part of one of the letters here, but, you know, he had a need in his life of a car. And he said, Dear Brother Jim, the Lord God, who is rich in mercy, has answered one of the needs I asked you to pray for me. The Lord has provided a car through a brother who saw the need 2 years ago. The brother who is a member of our church named Brother Lawrence Kazimbi, is a lecturer at the university, and at the time, 2 years ago, he was in South Africa getting his PhD. And when he came home and saw how I labored walking long distances, sometimes hiring a bike to minister in rural areas, it touched him. And he then promised God that if he would help him to win a malarial research project with the Zambian government, the first money he would receive would be dedicated to the Lord to buy a vehicle for the pastor. And the Lord answered his request, and he bought me a car. And don't you know that Brother Lawrence, he could have bought himself a better car, or he could have bought himself, you know, a new car or something else. There's always something to spend money on. But the challenge that Brother Lawrence had, and I think we all have, is seeing the needs of others as greater than our own needs. And that's the hard one. It's hard to say, I'm going to drive my car and buy another brother a car. But if you look at the different cars that we purchased in the church, that's what's happened, is people have said, I'm going to stay where I am and I'll buy another brother a car. And don't you know that Brother Lawrence, he hasn't missed that money. Whatever he may have used it for has probably been met. And if it hasn't, it's waiting on the other side. And so, God says, give and it shall be given unto you. And I appreciate all the people who sacrifice over the world and who are here and other churches who are sacrificing for missions. And it's our job and my job to make sure that, what we say the money is given for is actually given for and actually happens. And that's what we do. And we've got a big ministry, but we're pretty much month to month on our missions. We send out our missions money every quarter, so we accumulate for 3 months, and the balance will go up here, and then it'll go back down. And actually, at this point in time, we're about $7,000 underfunded for what we're going to have to send out in October, for October, November, December. So the Lord will meet that need, but I say that just to say that you might think there's a lot of money sloshing around and we got money for everything, but it wasn't there for Brother Anatoly's car and it's not there for the $7,000, but it's always there. God meets the needs. What we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord, and He shall repay. And so we appreciate everybody's faithfulness and giving, and we're doing our best to, as good stewards, to make sure that what we say happens is happening, and we just appreciate that confidence. Thank you.
As you well know, harmony and unity is absolutely essential in any team, and God has sure provided that with our missionary group that we're all working together. There's just such harmony that it's just, there is no such thing as ill will. It's just a wonderful thing to watch everything flow together. And so I wanted Brother Barry to come up and present his portion of where he's working and what he's doing. And Brother Barry started traveling with me before I backed off of the field. And once I saw that he really had favor in the eyes of the people, I knew he was the man. And he has much greater, better organizational skills than I do. So he's just been the perfect man to take, because we needed a little better coordination in getting the printing done and the translators working with the printers and getting it all smoothed out. And he's just jumped in and done all of that wonderfully, plus the ministry of the word. So I know you're going to enjoy what Brother Barry has to say.
God bless you, saints. Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And just an honor to be here today with you. Let me just make a couple of quick announcements, all right, before we get to some of the pictures there and some of the things that are happening overseas. And I always enjoy the opportunity to do this. In some ways, my face appears on many of these things here, and it's only because I happen to be the guy who's on the spot, traveling and being with the people. But I'm only a link in the chain, and it's a very big chain. It's a wonderful chain that wraps around a lot of different parts of the world, and we're just honored to be a part of it. But let me just make a couple of quick announcements. First of all, we're going to do a baptism right after the service this morning. So before lunch and right after this service, we're going to do a baptism to some people who have decided to be baptized. And we'll be doing that right afterwards. We have to leave this afternoon, my family and I. We have to leave and go back down south. And we'll be there in North Carolina for service tomorrow. And I just wanted to say this, that every year it's always a blessing to be able to come to family camp. And we appreciate And I don't say this lightly. I say this very sincerely. Most of the people who are responsible for putting this camp on are not here. They're working somewhere on the campground. And I really appreciate all of what goes into that. And I know enough about the workings of things, just a little bit. I know enough about it to know that there's a lot of people who miss an awful lot because you're able to sit right here and enjoy everything from the sound and the video and all of this. And these videos go all over the world. They go all over the world. And it's just amazing the amount of effort and expense that goes into that. And I just want to say publicly that we, on behalf of my family and many others that have said this to me, we really do appreciate the work that goes into the camp. And I think that when you see those brothers that are out there and some that are in the back, you ought to shake their hand and just say, God bless you. Because, you know, last night we went down to the lower snack shack down there, and I was just marveling at the amount of sisters that were in there. And they were all just moving around and getting, you know, food out and selling it. And, I mean, it was just amazing to see how many people were working just in that one place alone. It was just a real beehive of activity. So we just really appreciate, you know, the amount of labor that goes into that. And may God bless, richly bless the saints that are here. Also, too, I wanted to say that we're going to take a mission offering. I'm not good at this, but we're going to take a mission offering. And somebody asked me before I came up if you wanted to write a check, who to make it out to. And it was BCF Missions, right? BCF Missions, and it'll get to the right place. So we're going to do that afterwards. Also, too, I wanted to say this, that, you know, in coming to camp, there's a lot of things that are talked about, a lot of things that are ministered, and a lot of different things that take place. And sometimes, you know, you're sitting there and you may think, well, you know, they've talked about everything else but my situation or my problem. And I never had a chance to talk to a minister or whatever else. And I'd just like to encourage you to keep pressing on, because there cannot be a question without an answer. There cannot be a problem without a solution. And God has it, and He wants to tell you, and He wants to help you right where you are. And He wants to lead you on to higher ground. And so just keep pressing on. And just look to God, because God has an answer for all of us. And He does not want you, and it's not His plan or intention to take you into glory with the problems you struggle with now. They're all going to be left behind. And He's going to take a godly character into that dimension. That's what the promise is. So between now and the change of our bodies, something's going to happen to deal with the problem that you're dragging around with you now. And so don't worry and don't despair and don't think, well, you know, I get overlooked or, you know, nothing was said directly to me. God has His way of reaching you. It may be through your local church. It may be in a private devotion. It may be through a brother or a sister. It may be through a song. But what we want to do is develop a sensitivity so that we'll know when God speaks to us. So don't despair. Go home and you know, enjoy and digest what God has given to us in this time. And don't worry, God will meet every need. He has promised to do that. As Brother Jim said and Brother Lonnie said, we are part of a team that that coordinates a lot of activity that goes on around the world, and we're just excited about that. If you put up the first screen there, Charity, that'd be great for me. And I look at part of my role as just a communicator, a guy who gets up there and just talks about what's happening. And I go overseas now. Every time I go overseas, I tell the people over there what's happening in other parts of the world. And I never realize the value of that. I show them this presentation when I go, and the presentation is always changing, but I show them the presentation everywhere I go because it lets them know they're connected to a great big body that is united by a common belief all over the world. And they're just always excited about by seeing that and seeing the faces, you know, the people in Peru, and they see the Russians and the people in Tanzania, and they see the people in the Middle East. And they just think that's wonderful, you know, to see that. And we are part of a group that coordinates in order to gather expertise, but also to have accountability in the system. There's no one person who handles all the funding and all the different things that go on. We're very accountable one to another, and we communicate with one another almost daily. And so this is a process that the Lord has just brought certain people together to be able to do things. And we're expanding that little group and bringing in new people. And one of the things that's happened is that Brother Lonnie has stepped back a little bit from the active day-to-day role. And so we've invited another brother to step in and help us, and that's Brother Eugene Braun. And Brother Eugene is back here this morning, and we're very grateful for his contribution in his knowledge of what's happening in the world and been on the mission field many years. Hence, our brother Eugene is working with us directly as well. And then we have a smaller group of young men who have gifts and ministries that they take around the world, and they're helping us as well. And we have three of them that are here today. One of them is Brother Rap Crook. Rap, if you'd stand. And then we have Chad Lamb. Chad, I don't know if you're there he is right in the back. And then Andrew, my son Andrew Coffey, who's over here. And these guys are helping us. Thank you, fellows. You can sit down. Rap is fluent in Russian, and Andrew has an interest in the Middle East and things that happen there. Brother Chad's a minister, and he and Rap both are ministers, and they were just in Malawi, just back from there. And they contribute in their own way. So these young men are helping us and coming on. So it's just really great to see things happening in that way, and we're just excited to have them working with us. As you can see on the screen, from the U.S. and from Canada, there's a lot of goods and resources that we're able to bring or send overseas, and then we go over there and we help distribute those materials, and then we come back and share how those things are a blessing over there. And so what I want to do now is take you on just a little trip around the world, and we look at some faces and some places that God is doing some great things. And again, this is not to limit what other or ignore what other people are doing. There are some great things that are happening under Brother Tony Abma's ministry and just so many others that are working in different parts of the world. And we communicate well so that we don't overlap. And if there's a need for a vehicle, four or five different groups are not giving this brother four or five vehicles. We want to make sure that it's nice and evenly spread. So let's go to the next screen, if you will. And Brother Rapp and I were in Moscow just this past spring, and Rapp came along with me, and he's a great set of ears because he's fluent in the Russian language. And so we went to minister to a very specific need in the Moscow church. And we were able to meet with some of the brothers there and had a wonderful time with them. And they don't have a pastor yet, but their situation is changing. Let's just go to the next screen, if you will. And, of course, in the Russian lands, it's a huge, absolutely huge area. It covers 11 time zones. And these brothers are very zealous at getting out. But in that part of the world, Moscow is the center of the universe. It is literally the center of the universe. If they make sausages in a village 500 miles away, they'll process them, send them to Moscow to be distributed back to that village. Everything happens in Moscow. So to have a good church in Moscow is a great thing. And they have a great group there, but they just have not had a pastor. So flip to the next screen, if you will. And so when Rap and I were there, we were talking about this need of a pastor there. And if you'll flip to the next screen, we're in the church. And go to the next one. And I don't have sufficient pictures here to show you this, but the church is literally falling apart. And I hated that I didn't get this picture, but they have, in the middle of the church, they have a chimney. And this chimney has a big wire wrapped around it, a huge wire. And the wire runs out with a turnbuckle to the outside back wall of the church to hold it up. And literally, it holds up the wall of the church. And when the springtime comes, it just begins to fall out. So they have to crank the big turnbuckle and bring the wall back in again. And where the pulpit is in the back part of the building. It's on the back side of the building on the second floor. That's what you call pray without ceasing. Because you're standing on the part, if it's going to fall, you're standing on the part that's going to fall. And in Moscow, it is the most expensive city to live in the world. It has been now for a couple of years. So when they talk about looking at a piece of land, that land might be valued at $100,000 today and $150,000 a week from now. It is incredible how expensive it is in a city of 15 million people, where they live and the expenses that they have. But one day you're going to be notified, or we'll let you know that there's a need to build a church in Moscow. They already have they've been saving and they've been working together to get this the funds together to purchase a building or land and build one. But they've had a need of a pastor first, a minister first. So if you go to the next screen, this brother, Sergei Volkov, is on his way to becoming the pastor of that church. And Brother Sergei is a wonderful young man. He lives in Germany now, and he's a Russian citizen, but he lives in Germany with Brother Gerd Rodwald, and he's going to be going over to Russia to Moscow to pastor the church there. So once he gets in place there, I told him, I said, get the spiritual side done first. Get a pastor, get a man of God, and I said, then watch, God will add the other part to you. And so we're just trusting that the Lord will supply that need, and I know that He will, because it'll be important to have a church in Moscow for the saints that are there. So let me look at these pictures as well. If you don't mind, let's go to the next one there. So we are blessed, the next one, we are blessed to have a wonderful translation team. And this team is an excellent group of young men who are all gifted in English. And the tallest one you know is Brother Anton. He emailed me yesterday morning and he told me, he said, just give my greetings to all the people at Family Camp. He just would love to be here. He was just here a couple of weeks ago for the Witness Convention up in Cloverdale. And he and Brother Nikolai Stepanenko, the pastor, traveled around a little bit and were not able to stay as long as Family Camp. But he asked to be remembered to all of you just the other day. And these four work very, very closely together. They use the technology, the internet, to translate a message. Brother Dima, he translates the message first, and then it goes from one translator to another, comes back again, goes around again. So it's about 12 times they look at that message to make sure it's absolutely accurate. When they do the translation in print, it goes to three different printers in three different countries simultaneously. And then once that's done, they do a voiceover translation. I'll show you a picture of that in a moment, where they put Brother Branham's voice in the background and put the translated Russian right over the top of it so it runs concurrently. And then at the same time, they take the message and send it by email to everyone that has a search database in the Russian language. Just like we have the message on our computers, they have a Russian database that they use. And so the message goes out in print on MP3 format, and it goes out in a search database so they can have it all at the same time. And a lot of that is emailed so they can have it all at the same time. So they're very, very good stewards over the technology that God's given to us to use. Let's go to the next screen, if you will. They print in two places, and they have for a number of years in Ukraine on the left-hand side. I'm with Brother Ryabov here, and then over on the right side, Brother Sigitas prints in the Balkan states. And we needed to have printing in the Russian countries. Now, the reason why this is an emphasis is because we know that one day these borders are going to close. We will not be able to travel in and out of those countries freely like we are now. Russia is closing up. They're getting tighter all the time, and they want to have restrictions on how we can move around. So we wanted to have the ability to print within the country so that if we're not able to get in there, they can do it themselves and they can carry right on. And so this has been working very, 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 very well. Let's go to the next screen, if you will. And so in 2005, when I was there, we were talking to the Russian ministers about the printing. And Brother Anatoly Scaloni, and that's the brother that we took the money up for the car this morning, Brother Anatoly right here, he is seen purchasing a printing press that we bought for them and put in the country of Russia. So when the message is translated, it's sent by email to the Ukraine, to the Balkans, and to Russia. And they take it then, and they put it on the printing presses, and they print it right in their own country. Let's go to the next screen. You'll see some of the young boys who are, young men who are learning the printing press. We sent them, we took funds and sent them to Ukraine to learn on the same printing press. And go to the next one. And so they learned and then went home and did the first messages. I don't have the first message with me. I failed to bring it. But they sent me the first book that came off this printing press. And they are now printing there. But you know, it was a year afterwards. And I wrote them back and I said, are you fellows still printing? And they said, oh yeah, we're still printing. And I said, don't you need any money for paper and ink and so forth? And they said, no, the churches over there, they all chipped in. And they sent us a little money every time they got a book. And they said, we're completely self-sufficient with the printing. So they're not looking for a continual handout. That's the way it should be. We helped them with the little purchase of the capital equipment, you know, the press and the cutter and the stapler and so forth. Well, once they got that, they just said among themselves, this is a blessing. We can support that. And so they pay for their own printing and their own mailing and distribution of the books. And it's just a wonderful thing. Go to the next screen there, if you will. We distribute books from five different places in Russia, and there are five logical centers where the believers are. And one of them is in Moscow over here. The other one is in Taganrog in the south, then Orenburg in the middle, and that's roughly where the printing press is, in Ulyanovsk, and then Siberia. Siberia is a huge, huge area over here, and there are fewer churches in that side over there, but they distribute out of the city of Novokuznetsk. Just to give you an idea, the city of Novokuznetsk here is 600,000 people, and they have some very large cities over there, and now they're moving out and evangelizing in that part of the world over there. All right, let's go to the next screen, if you will. This is just, I got this week while I was here at camp, or just a couple of days ago. This is the family camp now that's ongoing in young people's camp that they're having just last week in Brother Anatoly's place. Brother Anatoly is right here. with the T-shirt on, and he's coordinating that camp. This is also Brother Eugene Fuchs over here on the right-hand side, who is the pastor over in Kazakhstan, and he helps guide the church over there and does a great work there. But on one of the shores of the lakes, they have a little place. Let's go to the next screen. And they're having a camp, and they mostly have young people in these pictures here. Let's go to the next one. And they're just having a good time here, and they do this every summer. And this is just kind of a local effort of three or four churches to get together and have this time together. Next screen. Brother Vitaly is the voice of William Branham in that part of the world, and he's the man who does the voiceover recording. We were able to supply them with a very sophisticated laptop that allowed them to have the software to do the recording here. And he sits in a studio that they built in the back of the church and listens to Brother Branham's message on tape in English. And he marks in his book, in his translation, where Brother Branham gets loud and soft and fast and slow. And then he matches Brother Branham's voice and rides right over the top. So you have two voices that are going like this all the way through the sermon. And he gets that done. And then they capture that, they put it in an MP3 format, and then it's sent out. And they make discs like we have that are able to be sent out. And Brother Vitaly does a tremendous job of that recording. And with the technology, it's just great to see how quickly they can get that done. They have approximately now about 350 sermons done in the Russian language that way. So it's really wonderful to see how far along they're moving. They have almost 450 done in print form so far. All right, let's go to the next screen. So these brothers, because they are technologically advanced over there, this is the streaming booth that they have in the church in Vilnius. This is where Brother Nikolai and Pavel Stepanenko are. And what you're seeing on the screen there, if you look in the back, you can see me preaching there. And then on these screens here are the feed screens where they're actually channeling out to the rest of the world by an uplink. And so they have live video streaming that goes on. And there are believers that are that tap in from Israel, from all points in Russia, and even from America and Canada. They're Russian-speaking believers who listen to what's happening live in Russia. And so we were able to help them. Again, these are special computers that we helped them to get. And what we're bringing over this time when we go, we're looking to get the funds to do a video mixer for them so they can have better control over their cameras there. But a church like this has the know-how and the ability to be able to interconnect so many other people in a vast country like Russia. And what they'll do is they will bring this equipment to the Alushta Convention, which we'll have on October 1st. And I'll be going over there with a couple of other young men, and we'll be the convention there. Brother Beckett will be going over as well, and we'll have the convention there. They'll bring this equipment to that convention so people can stream the convention right while it's going on. So you'd be able to stream the convention as well. If you want to get up at about 3 in the morning, you'd probably be able to stream the convention as well if we got you the link and hear the convention live over there. So it's just a real wonderful asset to be able to have this kind of equipment that connects them over there. Let's go to the next screen. So we just, with those brothers over there, like I say, sometimes just having a piece of equipment that they cannot buy, or if they could buy it, it would be 5 or 6 times the price what we would pay. This is a projector. It's worth about $3,000, I think. It'd be $10,000 or $11,000 over there in that country. So believers over here purchase this for the church in Ukraine, and we're able to bring it over. Again, I'm in those pictures. It's not that I'm given that. I'm not responsible for that. I'm just the purse carrier. I just bring over the stuff and come back and tell you about it, and then I come back again, and that's part of my work. So don't let that throw you that I'm in these pictures here. All right, let's go to the next one. We also do, as we said, there are people who help supply Bibles and the printed books. And what we did was, 2 years ago, we did the Revelation series, which was 15 sermons in one book. And we had that hardcover printed professionally in Russia. And that book was able to minister or be given out to all the believers there. We brought it to the convention, and they were able to have that. Right now, we're at the very, very last stages of retranslating the seven seals. And so that also will be printed in a hardcover format, and that will be done. When we do it that way, the books will cost us probably about $1.50 a piece to have a hardcover stitched book. And it lasts a long time by the stitching on the back. And that book will probably Probably not be ready by October 1st, but we're trying to push to get it done. But that's the kind of thing that happens, and when we do that, we do 5,000 or 6,000 copies and make sure that everybody gets one. But at those prices, it's affordable to do that. So part of the funds that are given are used for the printing projects like that. Some of them do individual sermons, but when we do a collection like the Seals or the Revelation series, we'll have it professionally done, and it gets done a lot faster. All right, let's go to the next screen, if you will. This is the most recent picture that I have of the deaf believers in Sakhalin Island. And these are the people that are all the way over on the very east. And they are the ones who are just north of Japan there. And I've not been over to visit these people yet. I really want to go because I like to get the footage of these people, in their worship. And they say that their worship is really moving to watch because they sing without words. They make sounds and they sing, and they say it's just a moving thing to watch these people. Everyone in the church is deaf, are deaf mutes. And when they go, they have a sister who is right here. This sister right here is the one who does the signing for the believers. And this one right here. And she can hear a little bit. And so one of the ministers, and Brother Eugene over here on the right is a minister. And he comes from Orenburg, and he visits them, and he signs in Russian, or he speaks in Russian to the signer. The signer signs to them. They sign back to him, and then she speaks in Russian back to him. If I went, it would be English to Russian to signing to the people to signing to Russian back to English again. And they say it would take about 2 days to preach a sermon. But I'd really like to go because it's a wonderful group. But the nice thing about this group is, despite their handicap, the church is growing. They're witnessing to people on that island about what God is doing. Let's go to the next screen. And here's a happy man. That's the only thing I know about him. They didn't tell me his name, but he's a happy man being baptized in Sakhalin in 2007. And the church is growing. They've got new people coming in and new families. They're not all deaf now that are coming in. But I think it's just amazing how that the Holy Spirit can even impress a person to witness, even if they don't have a voice to do it. They still have a life that they can manifest, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. This is Brother Alexei, who lost his wife to cancer a year or two ago. And Brother Alexei also travels over there to minister. He has a church in Latvia, and he travels over there to minister to the people and does a great work over there in helping the people. So it's just a blessing to see things like that. And like I say, we've never been a Westerner go over and visit these people. These are the people that were in the message before we got there. And they came to find us. They came to a convention where we were and said, hey, we're believers over here. We just like you to know we're here, and we would like to have somebody come baptize us if you don't mind. And we were like, hello. And it's just like the Holy Spirit said, you're too slow. I got stuff to do. You just keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to go over here and just do this on the side. And they had a brother who had visited a city years ago, and he picked up the message and brought it back to Sakhalin, and it took root over the years. And they were already in the message. They just had never been baptized, had never taken communion or foot washing before. It never had a minister come visit them. But they were in the message. I mean, it was just incredible. And so when we got there, we just, you know, I said to the brothers, get me some footage and pictures. I want to see these people here. And they were just amazed at the order that they had and the zeal they had and the knowledge they had for the message already, never having been visited before. So sometime, I'm Lord willing, I'd really like to go visit them and to be able to meet them. All right, let's go to the next screen, if you will. One of the most exciting places in the world where the message is spreading, and this is really neat, is in the country of Pakistan. And in 2006, Brother Jim Crook and I went to Pakistan and visited the saints there, and we held the first minister's meeting that had been held there in a long, long time. Brother Lonnie had broken ground there 73 in Pakistan, and had visited the country several times. And there was a deposit of the message, and there were certain brothers that came in, began to translate the message, but it's one of those areas where it never really took off until God's appointed time. Well, God's appointed time means that there has to be a man to bring the message. There has to be a local in there that is going to bring the message and spread it and help get it translated and begin to move out. And when you get that man in that channel, there's no limit to what God can do. So let me just show you now in the next screen here. This is a group of sisters that are worshiping. This is the minister's meeting that we're at. Brother Jim and I are in the back over here, and this is a group of the men that were gathered together in that church there. Let's go to the next screen. I'm looking for the map. Now, in this map here, prior to maybe 5 years ago, there were three churches. Maybe about 5 years ago, three churches. Now, Every one of these dots is a city where there is at least one church. More than one. There's a total of 37 churches that have grown up in the last 4 or 5 years. Much of it is due to this man right here. Brother Anmar, if you would stand up for us. Brother Anmar is a former UPC minister and taught in a UPC Bible school and got a revelation of the message and came out, and therefore has a lot of contacts with people and witnessed to many of the ministers that were in that organization. And so they have come out, and the message is just spread, like now, spreading greatly in the country. Last family camp, we made a decision here to go from 1,000 copies of a printed book to 2,000 copies of a printed book to satisfy the demand for the number of believers that were growing over there. Now they're involved in making MP3 voiceovers like they do in Russia. They're assembling a translation team that is able to work and be able to translate the message better and faster with more accountability. And if we don't do anything else for people in countries like this, if we don't do anything else, we have to get the message in their language into their hands. That is the important thing. If they don't, I mean, if we can't get them cars and churches and tape recorders, well, you know, that's too bad. But if we get them the message, we'll at least have given them the bread of life. And that's what's so important for us. And that's what's happening. That's very critical for us to do that. And then to be able to go over and help establish the ministry in the present truth. And to answer their questions and minister fundamental doctrines to them that give them a foundation upon which to build. Because you can't build on, youth meetings or family camps. They're all good and they all have their place, but they need a foundation to build on. And those are the basic doctrines that are taught. So the ministers, when they get into the message and they begin to understand those things, then the churches begin to grow and then other needs are there. Let's go to the next screen, if you will. So we were with Brother Anmar just this past year, a couple of months ago, and brought him a computer, and he uses that and he travels. Let's go to the next screen. Brother Anmar took this picture, and this will not do it justice, because there's nothing can do justice to the traffic situation in cities in Pakistan. When we were in Lahore in last fall, there are 11 million people, I think, in Lahore, something like that. They were all on the road at the same time. They were all driving. They all had a vehicle of some sort. And this is a typical busy street. There are trucks, there are vans, there are rickshaws, there are bicycles, there are motorbikes, and there are people, and there are beggars, and they're all on the road at the same time. I remember one time being in Calcutta, and I watched this roundabout. They had a huge roundabout in the center of the city, and this policeman was in the center in a kiosk in the center of the roundabout. Four lanes coming four different directions, all into this roundabout, and this policeman in a sparkling white uniform and a white hat and a big silver whistle, and he would blow it and say, "You stop, and you come this way, and then you stop, and you come over this way." And he was going through all these motions. There wasn't one person watching that policeman. There wasn't one person who couldn't care less what he said. They were all just going different directions there. Anwar loves it. I'll tell you what, it is just the craziest thing you have ever seen in your life. And no matter how we describe it, this will never do it justice, but when you're in there and there's a blue haze over that, that's not photography tricks, that's the blue haze of diesel smoke that's in your hair and your face and your mouth all the time. I remember we were going to church one night, and here's Brother Anwar, we're going down four or five lanes, which is about 16 lanes, right, with all the people in it, and they're going down this way, and we're all moving in this direction. The other lanes are coming this way over a barrier here, and we're moving this direction, and all of a sudden Anwar just takes his turn and goes right into the lanes of the oncoming traffic, straight into the, they're all coming this way, and I'm looking over there, Anwar, we're supposed to be over here, and they're coming straight at him, and and he says, "Well, I just need to get in over here to make this turn," so he just, and everybody, no one blows a horn, no one does a thing. I'm a nervous wreck. I got gray hair starting to show. It's amazing. But in those nations, it's amazing. I marvel at how they get things done. I marvel at how they do it. It's just incredible. Jehu would have loved it over there in that part of the world. Let's go to the next one, if you will. This is Brother Anwar and his wife in the other picture, Sheba. And she is helping with the video editing, right, that goes on. And Brother Anwar is involved in the voiceover translation that happens. And she is adept at the video editing that goes on. And they work together as a team, and they have three small children. And it's just incredible to see how they work together and get the messages out. And their center in Lahore has become a place where ministers come, and they get books and tapes and CDs and all kinds of things like that. And we're in the process now of building a place in Lahore where not only Brother Anwar can live, but where we can have a church building and a center for this activity in Pakistan. And so he's going home to begin the process of doing that. And we've, on his journey here, he's collected some funds to do that. And so we're very thankful for that. And he's going home, and that'll be a new building probably that will go up. And it'll be a center where all of those things can happen. So you want to pray that he has the right leadership to get the right place so that the right things can happen out of there. And it happens in good time. All right, let's go to the next screen, if you will. The brother, Brother Anwar's brother is up here in the corner. And they're carrying the seals book. Is that what it was? The seals book was just recently printed there, and seals. And this is Brother John Ajit, who was going. We were talking about bindings and in the church there, and talking about the different types of printing. So that's what was going on. This scene right here is the one where I told you before that I came through the crowd, and they had to put the armed guard with the machine gun behind me to get me through the crowd. I don't exactly fit in a dark-skinned culture. I kind of stand out, you know. And there was something, a man had died in the street out there, and so when I came out, it was just this huge group of Muslim men, and so I just locked up, and I stood there, and Brother Anwar got behind me. He said, just keep going. Just walk right through and go. And they had a guy with an arm guard with a machine gun there, and he came behind us and walked out there. Now, Jim, see, he kind of fits in because he's a little dark on the mustache. It all helped. But me, I'm like, you know, you might as well draw black rings on me and, you know, target. And so anyway, we made it through, and by God's grace. But this is right where that happened. Let's go to the next screen. So motorcycles are very important for them to get around villages and get around the city. It's very helpful for them. So that's a picture of one of the brothers there who has his new cycle. Let's go to the next one. And this is a new group. You talk about the gospel going to every kindred, nation, and tongue. These are gypsies, true gypsies, that wander with no country between India and Pakistan. There are 40 tribes of gypsies. They're all Muslim people, and they are totally poverty-stricken and totally illiterate. They are some of the poorest of the poor people in the world. And they live this way, in tents. They just take their few belongings with them. Anwar has pictures of them where the children have no clothes. They just have nothing, no possessions at all. And they wander from place to place. They just pick up food and, you know, whatever. And very illiterate, uneducated people. It's just incredible how they have lived for all of these years. These 40 tribes, though, being all Muslim, they obviously don't have any connection with Christianity. Brother Anwar had, and I won't go into all the story, but Brother Anwar made a connection with one of the people who are these gypsies who, strangely enough, decided one day that he was going to improve his situation and went to school. And he went to school, and he was encouraged to go on from school to university and graduated with a bachelor's degree. And so Anwar met this young man and began to witness the message to him, and he came into the message and is now going back with Brother Anwar into the groups of gypsies to witness to them. And let me go to the next screen. And this is Brother Jangir. And this is the man who had graduated from college and is now going back with Brother Anwar. Let's go to the next screen there. And they're discussing the message here in Brother Anwar's office. How old would this man be, Brother Jangir? 29 years old, not married. He's married. And he has a sister also, I think, that went to school. Yeah. And so they're now instrumental. And you know, all it takes, like Brother Branham taught, he said, you find a man. And he says, let him catch it. And let him go back to his people. And then let them spread it among their people. And that's how it gets done. And it isn't, you know, expensive campaigns or anything like that. It's just finding a man and letting that man get in God's hand. And then let that man be used by God to bring the message to his people. It's a wonderful thing. And so these people here, I'm interested in meeting some of these people here and going among them because, you know, they're just such an interesting group and totally nomadic, you know, traveling around. Let's go to the next screen, if you will. Just before we leave there, in the country of Pakistan, one of the big obstacles that we have is not only the danger of the political situation, but the fact that there are probably 30% of the people in the nation who are illiterate. 70% of the people, roughly, are illiterate. They cannot read or write anything. And so when it comes to reaching them, we have to balance between printing books and putting things in a voice format so they can listen to it. And therefore, they got to have something to play the messages on. So part of our thrust is to do it in print form and in audio form so they can listen to it. But this is a huge problem because most of the people never get an education. So it's interesting to see how we have to change when it comes to various countries. Now, as a result of some of the work that's gone on in Pakistan, we've been working lately over in the city of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. United Arab Emirates is on the Arabian Peninsula. The neighbors of these people are the people who cut your head off if you convert to Christianity. And if the authorities don't do it, the families will. And it's amazing that they do not allow, they do not want, they do not promote evangelism of any kind outside of their own beliefs in those countries. They do not want to have our Western religion. They do not want to have Christianity there. They like our ways, they like our money, they like our technology, they like our entertainment, but they do not want our religion. And so therefore, in this country right here, Dubai being one of the most open and liberal of the Arabic cities in the world, it is becoming a financial center, and it's an incredible place. It is modern beyond your wildest dreams. And the development that's going on there makes it an open city. Lots of airlines flow in there. It's about a three-hour plane ride from where Brother Anwar lives. And as a result of the amount of construction that goes on in that city, there are migrant workers who come from the Philippines, from India, from Pakistan, lots of other countries like that. And they come in and make about four times the average wage there in building all the construction sites and so on that are there. So the government knows that, well, you know, these people are here and they're going to bring their religion and so forth, so we're going to corral them. We're going to put them in a place where they can worship on their own. But if they come outside of that place, they're going to be deported if they bring their religion out of here, or they would be beheaded if it goes far enough. Let's go to the next screen. This whole part of the world is a very interesting part of the world now. It's what we call the 1040 line. Brother Russ is going to deal with this a little more extensively. All of those countries that have the slash marks on them are Muslim-influenced countries. Okay, so these are areas that have not been evangelized very thoroughly with the gospel because it's been too dangerous for us to get there. So therefore, one of the ways that you get there is to use the technology like television and internet to reach people in their own homes. There's lots of people who will enjoy things like that in their home, but they cannot go out publicly and say, "Hey, I saw a Christian program last night on TV." They don't do that. But in the privacy of their own homes, they will watch and participate. And so this whole area is becoming an area now that's opening up. It is one of the last frontiers where the message has never been. And now, slowly but surely, the Holy Spirit is allowing us to be able to get inside that area to bring the message. And I believe that is the last area where this is happening. Let's go to the next screen, if you will. So the United Arab Emirates is down here, and there's a little arrow that shows coming from Pakistan over to the UAE. It's just a little small country there, right on the Arabian Peninsula, and right smack in the Middle East. Hot, hot as anything. Hot as anything. Let's go to the next screen. All of these nations are in the 1040 belt. Some of them already have the message in small representation, like India and China. But you can see there's a lot of nations there that have very, very, very little message representation at all. Partly because we do not have the message in Arabic. We've never had Arabic believers before. So if there's no Arabic messages translated, it's very difficult to reach these people. All right, so watch now how this works. Let's go to the next screen. In Dubai, this man, Brother Yaqub, has lived there for 31 years. And because he's lived there for 31 years, he is from Pakistan and speaks Urdu. That's the language of the Pakistanis. When we went there the first time, which was in last fall, we went and visited his church. He's a UPC pastor. We visited him and spoke in his group a couple of times. And he looked at me after it was done and he said, "We need more of this teaching over here." He said, "This is really true." And he was very serious about it. And I knew that God was dealing with his heart. After I left, he went to Pakistan and visited some of the believers, including Brother Anwar, when he was on a Christmas break. It was a seasonal holiday, and he went there. And they sat down and went through the message. He was so convinced when he went back to Dubai, he resigned his post in the UPC and brought his whole church into the message. Hallelujah. This man, now coming into the message, we went to visit him again in the month of June this year. In the month of June, we bought him a computer. We had services in his church, and I had Brother Anwar this time translating for me. He wasn't there the first time, but I had him translating for me this time. And what a difference it was. They were just really opened up now. Their hearts were ready for the preaching and the message. And they were just, I mean, it was just wonderful to see how the Lord moved. And it was just a great blessing. So we were able to sit with him. We were able to answer questions and talk to him and so forth. But this man, because he's lived in Dubai for 31 years, is fluent in Arabic. So now we have an Arabic believer who's a pastor of a church on the Arabian Peninsula. It's happened in a period of about 6 months. It's just incredible. So now we have a place that we can go to and we can bring ministers to and we can, you know, we can talk. And so part of our work now is encouraging Brother Yaqub, helping them get their church in order, helping them get established there. And we're doing that by God's grace. We're going to go back again, Lord willing, in November to speak with them again. All right, let's go to the next screen, if you will. This is Brother Yaqub's group. And Brother Anwar is in the front here and Brother Yaqub is on his left-hand side. And this is the rest of the group over here, is Brother Anwar and Brother Yaqub. And this is the men that are in his church there. And they were still there this last time when I was there. This is when Brother Anwar had visited. On his way home, Brother Anwar is going to stop in Dubai and visit a little bit with them. And then Brother Eugene is, Lord willing, is probably going to come with me on his way to Pakistan in November. And we're going to have like a little joint meeting there, you know, to encourage them as much as we possibly can. Like sowing seeds. Like sowing seeds. Like sowing seeds. And so we cultivate and we do all we can. All right, let's go to the next screen, if you will. When we were there in the last meeting, we had some denominational ministers show up. Most of these are Trinitarian people or UPC. And they came and they were very excited about what they heard. And they every one of them invited me to come to their church next time I come back to Dubai. This man over here with the beard, the white beard here, he has 100 people or so in his church, and he invited us to come and minister to his group there. Now, we know the doors don't always stay open like that in denominational circles, but you can go in, sow some seed, doors close, you got some believers in there, right? They'll eventually be shaken right out of that and come out into the light of the message. That's how it works. And so it's a wonderful time to be able to help, you know, to minister to those people in that part of the world. All right, let's go to the next one. Here's Brother Yaqub, and this is the computer that we got for him, and he's studying there. Let's go to the next one. Brother Anwar was showing him how to use things there. Now, let's see if we can get this. My son Stephen was with me last time, and we did a little video clip. This is the compound where they worship. Turn me down just a little bit, Ike, there, if you will. Turn that down. The government built this compound for the Christians and said, you can worship in here. We'll build you the building. Kind of looks like this. And it's got lots of little rooms in it. And you can do whatever you want there, but don't take it outside these walls. But in this place, you can worship. So this is where we held our meetings. Sharjah is a suburb of Dubai. It's where all the workers live. We're sitting here with Brother Yaqub and Brother Kuparaj right here, the Indian brother. And they're both ministers, and we're giving them books and materials and answering some questions with them and so forth. God above us, God with us, God in us. We just had a great time. We had a great time. It was such a blessing. Because I told him, I said, contrary to what you heard in denominational circles, you can't join this church. I told him you can't join this. This is a happening of God that you cannot join. You got to be born into this family. And so it's not like you see how many people we can get to come along and join us. No, that's not it at all. You just need to know where you came from. And you know where you came from, the destiny is going to take care of itself, because origin is destiny, right, with us. And so I was just bringing them back before the foundation of the world, and we talked about, you know, God with his, alone with his thoughts and so on. And I said, God condescended, and then, you know, he spoke and gathered his people, and my, they caught it. I think, you know, for many of them, they caught it. It was just such a blessing to see the lights come on. And it was just a great service that we had. All right, let's go to the next screen, if you will. The people in Tanzania, Malawi, have had the gospel for many, many years. And we visit these people and we do different things for these folks. This is not an area where translation is a priority, but there's a lot of printing that goes on for the people there. Much of the printing happens in the country of Tanzania with Brother Zephaniah Peters, and it's distributed in all the Swahili-speaking parts of the world. I'm just going to be a couple of more minutes, and then we're going to turn it over to Brother Russ. And so when we were in Tanzania, we made one of the documentaries there last fall. These are the three documentaries that we have, and these are available. We have some outside in the back here, and you can see one of the sisters right out there. One of them is the documentary on Pakistan and Dubai. One of them is the one on Ukraine that we were there last year, and the other one is on Tanzania. And some of these saints here that you'll see are in this meeting. And we have various interviews and so forth in that DVD. They're free. We just give them out because we wanted to bring the mission field to you and be able to present it where you could watch along. So if you've never seen it, it's a blessing. And just take one if you want for your church and bring it back and let the whole church see it. And that's the way we've been trying to do it. Let's go to the next screen. I love this picture of, you know, the facilities in those countries are very, very unique. And this is a taxi crossing the river in the Mozambique River over there. And they just pile everything in and the people get in on top of that and off they go. Raph can show you a picture of the river, the lake crossing that they did down in Malawi. And he said it was nothing more than a floating coffin. They had 7 hours of going across the river, him and Chad, and across the lake, and quite a shot, quite a picture. Let's go to the next screen, if you will. I love this picture. This is true missionary work. This is Brother Zephaniah Peters up here. He's baptizing in the villages a man in a cow trough. And that's the only place in that whole village that was able to contain enough water to immerse a man. There are people here that live in caves. They're cave dwellers. And there's about 5,000 people who live in that part of the jungle in caves. They bring their cattle and their children and property in the cave with them every night because someone will steal it. And they lock it up, and they have lived there for centuries and centuries. There are about 200 of those people in those caves that believe the message. It's a very difficult place to get to. And they just love the Lord. And when we had a convention a year or two ago, they came to visit. Now, when we were here last time, let's go to the next screen. Well, here last time, we met with some of those believers and took their picture and had an interview. And some of that is on the video that we have there. And let's go to the next screen, if you will. This brother right here is the pastor to one of those groups called the Mangati people. And the Mangati people in Swahili, Mangati means fierce warrior. In other words, we'd just as soon cut your head off as talk to you. That's the way they were. When the Moravian missionaries came through Africa years ago, they were warned, don't go near the Mangati people in the jungle because they're fierce warriors and you don't want to mess with them. Don't go around them at all. They'll kill you. And so they didn't evangelize them. And then when the Baptist people came through a number of years ago, they also were warned away from the Mangati people. They said, don't go near them. They're fierce people and just don't have anything to do with them. And so they've never had the gospel preached to them. Well, this brother right here was a former Maasai warrior. Those are the people that wear red. They believe they own all the cattle in the world. Their god is a god of cattle. As a matter of fact, when they greet you in the morning and say, how are you doing? In Swahili, in the Maasai language, there's a part of that that also says, how are you and your cattle all doing? And they, you know, if you're walking down the road with a cow, they'll beat up the man and take the cows. They just think they own all the cows in the world. And they're really an unusual people. But they carry spears, they carry shields. They're just like they were 500 years ago. It's really interesting. This man was a Maasai warrior, came out, believed the message, and preaches the message, and one day felt it on his heart to go to the Mangati people and went into a village, and now there's a dozen of them in that Mangati village that believe the message. And so we did a little interview with them, and he was telling us a little bit about their story, and he goes in there, you talk about poor people now, and they live on roots and vegetables and things, they don't eat any meat, and I mean, it's just really, really poor where they are. But this man, he just travels around in that area and ministers to those people and does a great job. They're still very fierce, but he goes in there and does that and does a great job. We're giving him a new Bible here so he can bring to the people. Let's flip to the next screen, if you will. And so our church, our little group in Hickory, we are supporting this pastor and the work that goes on in those jungles there. We send them a certain amount every month, and it enables them to get the books out to there and to be able to travel around, money for travel and so forth for the brothers there. I mean, we're talking like, in order for that brother to live, it would be like $25 a month for him to live and travel in that part of the world. It's amazing how cheap that it is, but the conditions are so bad. We left from the convention where we met those brothers, and we went to Dar es Salaam. This is Brother Mangoka. And Brother Mangoka is the first person to ever have brought the message into all of East Africa below the Sahara Desert line. And he did that, you know, just after Brother Branham passed away, and has a great testimony of how that happened. He was a man who was very high up in the government, had a very important job, and got a hold of people who knew Brother Branham. He was searching to find out more about Brother Branham, and then he found out Brother Branham had passed away. He was greatly disappointed, but eventually wrote a letter over to North America. They put him in contact with Sidney Jackson. Sidney Jackson sent him some messages, and that was the first thing he read of Brother Branham, and came into the message then, and has spread the message all through that part of the world. And so there's many people that are there now because of Brother Mangoka's work. Let's go to the next screen, if you will. We're standing on the roof, the unfinished roof of the new building that we're building over there in Dar es Salaam, which is the capital city of Tanzania. And he was showing us the building, and this is Brother Mangoka here, Brother Steve Fulkerson, and Brother Shija, who also ministers there. And we're standing on the building there, on the roof of the building, to get that to show the believers there, to show us the building that's going on. There's two churches that are being built. All right, let's go to the next screen. This is Brother Paddington in Malawi. I love this because this is the African PowerPoint. They're holding up a sheet, and Brother Paddington is drawing on that sheet there. That's their PowerPoint that they're doing. Folks are sitting on the grass in that picture there. All right, let's go to the next one, if you will. Baptizing in the Black Sea. Let's go to the next one. All right, we're done. Those people over there love the Lord just as much as you do. They just, you know, they pray for you. You better believe they pray for you. And I'll tell you what, when we get over there, it's going to be a wonderful camp meeting. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet at all, because when they get over there on that side and we all speak the same language, it's going to be a revival. God bless you.
Brother Russell Terry is our program manager for Global Answers, our satellite television broadcast that we do. And we're in the midst of transition right now, so I don't want to go into it because I don't want to overlap on what he's going to say. So I'll just bring Brother Russ up. You can tell him about what's going on with our satellite outreach program.
God bless you all. I greet you from the Global Answers team. We have quite a few people involved in the project, and each one of them does a little something different, from the editing to actually shooting the program to directing the program. And my job simply is to coordinate it behind the scenes and try to pull all the details together, make sure everything's going in the right direction. First thing we'd like to... you want to put that slide up? What is Global Answers? And many people don't know what it is, but it's a 30-minute video broadcast. It's on satellite, primarily in Europe. It was on in the Middle East and Northern Africa. We were on three satellites, but we're not on that third satellite right now. We don't know exactly why. That just changed recently. But we're on two satellites, and we cover about 52 countries, and it's about 45 million homes. And we're on cable in some areas. Great Britain, we're on cable there, about 8 million people. Scandinavia, about 1.4 million. And so the total there is about 45 million. We're waiting for the slide to come up there. One of the things that I do... Is that on screen? Anything on screen? What this is, you might recognize this. This is actually one of our DVD covers that we do for one of the programs, if you've ever seen it. And the reason I chose this today is it's the very first program that we did, What is God Doing Today? We did that in March 2004, and it's been our theme ever since, actually. It's the whole point and heart purpose of Global is to reach people that's never heard the gospel before, and those that are out there watching television. It's not meant to go to believers, although that's a secondary thing. Many believers have picked up the DVDs and use it for witnessing tool. But that was done in March of 2004. That's been about 3 years ago. We since have did about 100 programs total that we're showing and putting in different places. And I like to get into the motive and objective of Global. A lot of times people don't understand what we're trying to do with it. But it is this. It's to find the bride of Jesus Christ. People that's never heard it, it's to alert the foolish virgins, to give them a heads up to what's coming during the tribulation period. and to be a witness of this whole end time manifestation of Jesus Christ in the last day. And if we can accomplish that, we feel like we've accomplished what we'd like to do. And our mandate for Scripture has been always Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. And then the end shall come. So we've got a space of time there. And Global Answers is just one small piece of the puzzle that we're doing in a worldwide arena. Last month I was in Cloverdale at the 2007 Witness Convention. And it was amazing to see how our program fit in with what God was doing totally around the world. God is using television in Brazil like you would not believe. I don't know if you've read about it, but there are whole churches coming in Brazil. They have a national program there, the brothers that are showing on television, and many, many people are coming in, and it's affecting them. Now, we're primarily on in Europe, like I said, and a little bit of Russia, and we were in the Northern Africa and the Middle East. Not there yet. We're going to find out about what happened there. But the first time, what happens here is we do our program, and then we ship it up to Iceland. Brother Erickson, many of you might know him. He has a television station there. It's shown locally. Then it's uplinked to the satellites there, and then it's put into the other countries, and it makes it available. This map may not come across real good. Now, this is where we had trouble with Google Earth here, but if you can see that, these icons on there, the yellow or the orange push pins, those are responses that we've gotten from the countries, and those red circles are, those are brothers that are duplicating the DVDs and sending them out to other countries. And the green ones represent some of the countries where some of those duplicated DVDs have went into. But so far, we've received responses from about 17 different countries: Croatia, Denmark, Germany, Greece, Iceland, Ireland, India, Italy, Kazakhstan, Latvia, New Zealand, Norway, Scotland, Sweden, Switzerland, and the United States, and the United Arab Emirates. Many times we get questions that come in, like I'm going to read one here in a minute, and what we do is we funnel those to Brother Lonnie, but this question and response came from the United Kingdom. It says, "Dear brothers, thank you very much. When I listened to the words, it means so much to me, and there was a lot I did not understand. Is it possible for me to get some more, especially the one about identifying a true prophet?" That was one of our programs, and they have a question. "How do you know when you receive the Holy Ghost?" And we get all kinds of questions, as you might imagine. These are people that have never heard the message, and some of them aren't even churched. In fact, primarily in Europe, I don't know if you know this or not, it's known as the Dark Continent, spiritually speaking, because less than 4% of the people actually go to church on a weekly basis. Where in the United States, about 43%, Canada, it's 20%. So you're dealing with a lot of things there that are truly amazing compared to our country. Here's another letter from the UK. It says, "I have just tuned into your TV program today on the Gospel Channel. The message today answered so many questions I have about discerning correctly in the Spirit, so that one is not led astray by the multitudes of preachers performing all kinds of miracles. I believe in miracles and the healing power of God. Please send me more information and the DVD, An Eyewitness." And that one there is one we did with Ed Biskell a couple of years ago. Here's another one from Iceland. It says, "I've been watching your program on the Gospel Channel. I find it to be the most informative program. I am interested in the Church Age book and the DVD and the materials that you have made available by Brother Lonnie Jenkins. Thanks so much." Our next one we want to go to here is, that's a slide there. It shows you can see there in right around London, we get a lot of grouping. In fact, that's our greatest number of responses comes from that country. A lot of them are in London. It's because I think we're on actually cable. The next thing we want to get into here is one of our duplication projects. This one's in Croatia. And Brother Jonathan Lager, he contacted us about a year ago, and he asked, could he duplicate the programs? And it really, that wasn't our intended purpose at first, but it's proved to be really a good tool that they can duplicate it right in the country, in their own language, translate it, and then they ship them out to different countries. And I think he's shipped to Slovenia, Serbia, Bosnia, Montenegro, Germany, Ireland, Romania, and Slovakia. And one of the things that he requested early on was, did we have a transcript of our programs? And we didn't at that time. So we started a transcription where we've got some sisters in the church. They listen to the thing. They type it into a Word file. We load that up to the website where anybody worldwide, especially the translators, can get a hold of that, download it, and it cuts their time basically in half when they're translating, you know, from the English to whatever language they're in. So here's Brother Jonathan. We're going to let him greet you.
God bless you. I'm Jonathan Lerga from Croatia, and I'm very glad for possibility to participate in Global Answer project, translating DVDs, which are great blessing, not only to believers in my country, but also to believers in several other countries in Europe. I had on my heart to put translated DVDs on internet in a real video format, and now we have a website with translated Global Answers programs, and I believe that it is going to be a great tool in testifying to denominational believers. Brother Lonnie and Brother Jeff have done a great job preparing and making each program. We know that it takes a lot of time and a lot of labor studying and praying for each program, and we are thankful to them and to everyone included in creating Global Answer DVDs. We hope that some of these translated DVDs will get to someone who will receive our Lord and what He has done in this generation, sending us a prophet with a rapturing message and a rapturing grace.
Amen. And he's done about 25 to 30 of our programs already, and he's distributed them to a lot of different places, so it's worked out real well there. Our next stop here is India, and there's three main areas that I want to talk about. There's in Goa, India. This is Brother Stan DeMello, and we came in contact with him in actually Kazakhstan about, I think it was in 2006. He had just been recently baptized. He's from India, and he was working for an Italian oil company. And while there, he tuned into our program, saw Global Answers, exactly what he just came into, and he was elated. And so we've had a great relationship since then. He moves all over the world. Right now he's in Tunisia, but every place he's went, he's always done something for Global and picked it up. He owns a Bible bookstore in India, and this is the picture of a fully stocked case of Global Answers. I just talked to him yesterday, excuse me, and he sold 18 of them just in 1 month. These are people that's never heard the message before. There's a customer that is looking at the thing in his bookstore. And going back to India again, let's go to Nagpur, which is right in the center. And this just happened since we got back from Cloverdale. And this is from Brother Edmund Titus. And he wrote this letter. We just got this last week. I'm a minister of the end time message from Nagpur, which is in the center of India. He says, Nagpur has a population of about 3 million people and is a major city in central India. He says, I pastor a small church with about 100 believers. He said, while watching the Global Answer DVDs of Brother Lonnie and Brother Jeff, while I was in Canada, the Lord put in my heart the desire. And that's happened so many times that when people hear this, God is just raising up people all over the world, and that's what happens. It puts it in their heart, and now he wants to translate the message for us. He said, I'd like to translate these into Hindu, a national language of our country, so that the message excuse me, would reach the unreached so far, and the last seed may hear the message and come into the fold so that the rapture may take place. And he's also wanting to put us on cable in his area. The next one is more to the top, and that's in Lahore, which Brother Barry just talked about. And again, Brother Anwar, if he wasn't busy enough, he's helping us translate Global Answers. And he's doing everything that you can imagine over there. And then I call him Mr. Energy. He's taking the time and started, what, about a month ago, Brother Anwar? 3 months ago. And so we're going to play a part of that program at the end here, and it's going to be in the Urdu language. Next stop is New Zealand, and we've had a lot of good responses from New Zealand, and that's because Brother Ross Lane, who's a pastor down in Nelson, he got the same inspiration we did about the same time 2 years ago to take our program and put it on local television there, which he did. And it's on, I think the station is, I forget the name of it, but it's right there in Nelson. And so far they've mailed out 2,300 DVDs in their area. Most of them are in New Zealand and the South Pacific. Here's a sample response. It says, I watched and listened with great interest to your broadcast on Sunday afternoon on our local mainland program. Towards the end of your teaching, the Bible turned truce on the holy baptism. I'd love to know more.
Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ from Nelson, New Zealand. We really appreciate the efforts and sacrifice made by the Global Answers production team and have enjoyed working with them. Favorable comments have been received from new believers, pastors, and missionaries who have been blessed by this concise presentation of the message we all love and appreciate. This week marks 2 years of Global Answers broadcast by our local TV station and over 2,000 DVDs distributed throughout New Zealand, Australia, and the South Pacific, with some to the United Kingdom and South Africa. This project has opened numerous doors we would not have tried otherwise. God bless you all.
That's Brother Ross on the right with his wife, and Brother Andrew on the left. Those two, that's his son-in-law. Both of them are the ones that drive what's going on there in Nelson. This is a neat idea that they put together. It's actually a kit. It's got Global Answers in it. It's got some Brother Branham messages in it. It's got tracks. They actually put these together and send them with the brothers that go out into the South Pacific and some of the different islands. And they've sent them to Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, I forget, about five different places there that they're sending them. This is a picture of the North Island, and this is Taranaki. This is Brother Paul Moffat, who has a church there in Stratford. He's sponsoring a local channel there, Channel 7, and he's doing a great job there too. There's about five islands there that they send to: Vanuatu, Samoa, Cook Islands, and Rarotonga. That's a picture of the island there, and I've got a response from there. It says, "Greetings," he says, "I'm a Cook Islander, and I live here in the Cook Islands on Rarotonga Island. English is my second language. My husband and our children really enjoy the Global Answer broadcast in the Cook Islands. At this moment, we have the privilege to share the holy message to some of our relatives. Please send us the 20th Century Prophet, and I am a witness." And one other I'd like to read, and then we'll close here, and then we'll get into Brother Anwar's video. But this is from Auckland, New Zealand. It says, "After 23 years of being in the Pentecostal movement, my wife and I have come into the message. We have purchased the Global Answer DVD series from a church in Nelson, and we sit several times a week to listen to the teachings. This is the first time ever that the message of the Bible has made so much sense." And that's really what we're trying to do with Global, is to be able to take people just a little higher and move them on if they can receive it. And this is what's happened here. Where we're headed in the future, there's possible talk that the channel that we're on, they're going to acquire another satellite that would be in the Asia-Pacific region. And we're not sure what countries, but they're talking this fall. It could be the Philippines, Taiwan, maybe South Korea. We're not sure. And then also, they're going to have one that'll cover the entire continent of Africa. And that's supposed to come online this fall. And one thing that we've been in transition about is to, we'd like to be able to get up on North American satellite. And we had an offer about 3 months ago from a company that's it's a startup company. It's called Spirit One. And it's going to deal entirely with the end time and end time events. And we're going to try to get on that channel, if the Lord's willing. And also, that would be 32 radio stations that are going to be on that also. Let's go ahead and play Brother Anwar's program. We even had trouble with this plan. It worked fine all week. We got it this morning. Wouldn't play. We had to go all the way back to the motel with Brother Anwar to pick it up.
Welcome to Global Answers. Please join us as we discuss the relevance of God's eternal word relating to events in this day and what it means to you. And now, your hosts, Jeff and Lonnie Jenkins.
Hello, friends. Thanks for joining us again for another session on Global Answers. And today we're going into a subject of that which is hidden, and God loves to hide and reveal. And so consequently, we're going to go into that subject matter today because, as we've discussed with you so often, there is something that's been revealed in this last day. And we want to take you on a search through the scriptures to show you how that God hides and reveals and what is our role in the hiding and revealing. And so, of course, as you already saw in the opening shot, Jeff is with us today in the studio, and he's the one that's going to kind of take this subject and run with it for us, and I just may ask him a question or two along the way. So, Jeff, if you want to take it.
Sure enough. Greetings. It's good to be back with you. We've been in sunny Florida on a little bit of a vacation, and we're all refreshed and ready to go. And we want to talk about a hidden treasure, and the Bible actually uses the term a treasure hidden. Now, Jesus is referring to a parable. He says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hidden in a field. And a man was walking along the field, and he says, lo and behold, perhaps there was this huge oak tree, and by this gnarly oak underneath the roots was this beautiful treasure. He opens up the box, and it's filled with jewels.
So we'll chop off Jeff there. Sorry about that. Full global answers are available to you, but I see where the clock is running. And our big anticipation right now is to get on satellite and spirit that he mentioned, the spirit satellite, which will cover Canada, the United States, Mexico, and the Caribbean. And so we're just watching to see if we can get sponsors behind that. And then we're going to jump in that direction. Remember, we're not trying to feed believers. That is not the purpose. We're not trying to get to help the bride of Christ along. We're trying to reach those who've never heard. And that's always been my burden. And that's why I was so glad when Brother Barry and Brother Jim came along, because they're so good at maintenance and keeping a missionary effort going. But I have to admit, once I get it going, I want to go somewhere else where they haven't heard, because that's my primary thrust. That's what I love. And so the idea of reaching into new areas with television is going to be my focus for a while, until maybe God points me in another direction. I'd just like to give just a moment. Musicians, are you still here, or are you gone? Are we got any musicians left? If you could come up. The brothers from the Philippines said they had one quick song they'd wanted to sing for us. Are they here? No. Not here? Okay. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Is that okay with three of you? Okay. You'll have to be short, brothers, because we're really running late on time. Have you practiced this with the people? Haven't practiced. Do they know can they do the music? Okay, all right. These brothers are doing a great work over in their part of the world, and I felt it good to give them a, come on up, brothers. Give them a little exposure to you, and you can kind of feel their spirit. They're enthusiastic about what they're doing. No sermons, brothers. Just the thought.
These brothers are all pastors, but we're all missionaries. And Philippines is made up of 7,000 or so islands. And these brothers are not afraid to brave the waves, go into communist rebel-infested areas, go into the Muslim communities, just to bring the liberating gospel that we believe. We're going to sing a song. It's called To Be a Blessing.
When sinners find the way to perfect liberty. I give God glory for His gifts using me. Just to be a blessing, I go on a journey, climb up the highest mountain and cross the deep blue sea. I leave home and family, I go where the Spirit leads me. I'm giving my life away just to be a blessing.
Appreciated that. That was great. That was great. I love that they have a certain style in their music in the Philippines, and I happen to like the style very much, too. And so I know you were blessed by that. We had told you we're going to take up a missionary offering in case anybody would like to give special to that, so if the brothers wouldn't mind if they go ahead and pass the cups. And so if you want to give anything special to missions, we'd like to do that at this moment. And you see where it's going, and so you know what our thrust is. And then immediately from here, we'll be going directly over to the swimming pool, which is just straight out in front of the building here, across the grass, across the parking lot, and on the back side of the parking lot is where they'll be doing the water baptisms. I want to live the way He wants me to live.
I want to live just the way that He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to
have to forgive me. I remembered the part I want to live the way. I forgot about the give part. That seems kind of inappropriate for what we're doing right now. I'm sorry about that. I really didn't mean it that way. I forgot that line was in there. I feel bad about that. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. We just have a word of prayer and no more songs, and just to let you go on over for the baptism because it's time to be over there. Lord Jesus, cannot express how we recognize the leadership of the Holy Ghost in the bride around the world. No man, no organization, no thought plan could get the job done the way that the Holy Ghost is getting it done. This one feels inspired to go here and do that, and that one feels inspired to go there and do that, and it's just no conflict, no overlapping, just getting the job done. God, you are indeed the great coordinator, and there's just no one that can do it like you, and we're so glad to be extensions of a heavenly kingdom down here on earth. And God, each one of us is members of the body of Christ. We just always want to move into that function that you would have us to be, whether behind the scenes or in front, whatever, Lord. We just want to be sensitive to the leadership of your Spirit continually, Lord, giving you thanks and praise for all that you do. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed.